Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And we do have some notes if you don't have those already. Genesis chapter 28, and I want to thank Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen for entrusting me with bringing the word this morning. It's not a light thing in my estimation. It's a very, very important thing. Genesis 28, we're going to read verses 13 through 15, and then we're going to turn over to Genesis 42. Reading from the New Living Translation, and if you would stand now for the reading of the Word. If you're not able to stand, that's all right, but it's something that we do as a custom in Kings. Genesis 28, verse 13. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Now turn over to Genesis 42. Genesis 42, starting in verse 35. It says, as they emptied out their sacks, there in each man's sack was the bag of money he had paid for the grain. The brothers and their father were terrified when they saw the bags of money. Jacob exclaimed, you are robbing me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? Everything is going against me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have this morning. I pray, O Lord, that you'd give us each ears to hear and hearts to respond. All those here, all those online, all those that listen later and watch later. God, that you would open up our ability to hear from you. That everything that would hinder that would be removed. Holy Spirit, that you'd come and that you'd anoint me to preach your word with power, with clarity this morning, that would burn faith and vision into the hearts of your people. And we thank you for what you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We all go through difficult times. If anybody tells you otherwise, they're either delusional or lying. Delusional, untruthful, because we all go through difficult times. The Bible says in this life you will have trouble. And even more so, or as much so, if you're married. There's an added thing in Scripture. Praise the Lord. We all go through difficult times. However, how we respond, and you can fill in your notes, how we respond in those moments makes all the difference. How we respond in the midst of the difficulty makes all the difference. We see that how we approach difficulty is different from how the world was. I mean, when I say we, I mean Christians. I mean those who've received Jesus into their lives and live within that covenant relationship. We are to approach difficulty in a different manner because we have much more to lean upon and much more to stand upon. And what I want to talk about this morning and what God has laid on my heart is that though difficulties come and even discouragement comes, that there is a way to deal with those moments. I don't care how spiritual you are, if you live on this earth, you will deal with discouragement. And it may be at times a daily thing where you have to deal with the discouragement that comes your way. And as it is with everything in life, the way you'll respond is with the tools that you've been given. What's happening even right now in the lobby is a number of real life seminars. One of them is on parenting this morning. What's happening in that is that tools are being given this morning to parents so that they can parent their children with new tools. If you don't get new tools, what do you end up reaching for in parenting? The tools your parents gave you or the people that raised you. I'm thankful that there's some good tools that I got from my parents and that there's some other ones that I had to leave at the altar and get some new tools. Praise God. So I want to encourage you to be a part of those real life seminars. There's marriage, there's parenting, different ones that happen. So how we respond to the moments of discouragement makes all the difference. And if you are in this past week's worth of meetings, from Friday all the way through Monday during the Power Conference, there was much encouragement. Was anybody encouraged this weekend? Prophetic words, tremendous things declared, tremendous messages. If you haven't heard them, you need to go and listen to them. They're on our YouTube, they're on our Facebook, and you can go listen to those. But what do we do when we have the word and we've received a word, but then what's happening in our lives doesn't look like the word? That's what we need to be equipped with, because those moments come, and many times the prophetic is released actually so that you can have the weapons and the tools to be able to get through the discouraging times, to get through and battle through that which the enemy throws at you or your own circumstances that you've made come and to fulfillment. So let's take a look at this text. You can follow along in the notes, and I have to provide some backstory. We read in Genesis 28 a promise. So God gives him a promise. And it was the same promise that was given to Abraham and to Isaac. So God meets Abraham, gives him a promise, and then he reiterates the promise to Abraham's son Isaac. And then God speaks again that promise to Jacob. How many of you thankful that God has no problem repeating himself? Hallelujah. So the promises were the land was theirs. And this is what we would refer to later on as the promised land. The reason it's called the promised land is because God promised it to Abraham, promised it to Isaac, promised it to Jacob, promised it to all their descendants. And this is the land that, when we read in Genesis 28, Jacob was lying there. He also promised that they would have numerous descendants, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And what God said to Abraham, as numerous as the stars in the sky. I've heard my children, we have six children, and over the years I've heard them at times try and count the stars in the sky. And you start out confident, and then, did I see that one before? Did I already count that one? Praise the Lord. And that is the picture that God gives to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and then on down the generations as to how numerous their descendants would be. He then goes on to say, I am with you, and I will protect you. Until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Tremendous promises. Tremendous promises from God. Where he makes these statements to Jacob and makes a commitment and a covenant with him. So you can fill in B, he has a very blessed life, but still endures suffering. So Jacob becomes very blessed, and we fast forward through many, many years. We read in Genesis 28, this moment in his life prior to his having a family. And then later on, when we get to Genesis 42, a lot of life has happened. And where a lot of life happens, there's great joy, and God has blessed him tremendously and increased him tremendously, yet in the same way that we all go through things in life, he deals with suffering. He endures some difficulty. Rachel, his wife Rachel, dies giving birth to Benjamin. Benjamin would be Joseph's brothers. If you're not familiar, Jacob has 12 sons. 10 of them are with his wife Leah, and 2 of them are with his wife Rachel. And he loves his wife Rachel more than Leah. We don't have time to get into all of that dysfunction. There's a lot there. But Rachel dies, giving birth to Benjamin. Then his father Isaac dies. He's told that Joseph is dead. And that's a story in and of itself, how he favored Joseph more than his other brothers, more dysfunction there, which caused his brothers to hate him. And they ended up throwing him into a pit, thinking about killing him. Instead, they sold him into slavery in Egypt. But all that Jacob, his father, knows is that Joseph is gone. His brothers had torn up this wonderful cloak of many colors that Jacob had given to Joseph. They put blood on it so that Jacob would think that a wild animal killed Joseph. So that's all that Joseph knows. And what I'm relating here is I'm giving us context of how Jacob sees the world right now, the sufferings and the things that he's gone through. And then, number 4, widespread famine engulfs the land. And we have this tremendous privilege now that we have the Bible. We can go and look and we can see what Jacob's going through, but we also know what has happened with his son Joseph, who, while he was sold into slavery, then becomes second in command through a number of things. He becomes second in command in all of Egypt. And so during this famine, Joseph is in control in Egypt. Number 4, Simeon is held prisoner and he may lose Benjamin. I shared all that to show you the context by which Jacob saw the world. They not only through the promises that God had given him, but through the real life difficulties, the sufferings, the grief, the loss, even the fears that he has. And he makes a statement. He declares, everything is going against me. Don't raise your hand, but if you've ever felt that way, I'll raise my hand for you. Many times, everything is going against me. And even maybe you've got some maturity in the Lord and you know that that's not correct, but still, it doesn't always change the feeling. Everything is going against me. But you can fill in D, though he said everything is going against me, understand that in reality, everything is in his favor. All that he's looking at right now, and he's saying that everything is against me, what he doesn't know is it's actually all working in his favor. It's actually over many years orchestrated by God to be a blessing to him and to his family. What took place? Well, number 1, the ruler that was giving them a hard time, the ruler they were dealing with, was his son Joseph, the one that he thought was lost. And there's a lot of story in here. You would have to go and read all the interactions where Joseph's brothers, because of the famine, have to go into Egypt to get food for their family to be able to survive. When they do so, Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize Joseph, and he wants to test them to see where their hearts are now because, I mean, they wanted to kill him. They sold him into slavery. There's been some issues. So he questions them, talks to them, and he sets this thing up where they have to leave their brother Simeon so that he gets it out of them that they tell him they have a brother Benjamin. He knew all along, right? It's his brother. But he says, if you don't bring Benjamin back to me, I mean, really, you can't come back unless you come back with Benjamin, and I'm going to hold your brother Simeon as a guarantee that you're going to do what you said. And that is what Jacob is responding to. Simeon being held by this ruler that's making these crazy things that they have to do. He says, everything is against me. But he doesn't know that that is Joseph. And what would then happen is that God would provide miraculously for their whole family in the midst of this famine. Number two, God was protecting and providing for them. That's exactly what he told them, what he told Jacob when we read in Genesis 28, that he will go with them, he will protect him and provide for him. What was he doing in even allowing Joseph to be taken and placed into Egypt, providing a way, making a way, positioning them to walk in his protection and his blessing? And again, look at Jacob's perspective. Everything is going against me. But in reality, God had moved things around and made it, orchestrated things that you could never put together. He made it so that they would be provided for and protected. Number three, God was doing everything he had promised, but Jacob couldn't see it. God was doing everything he had promised, but Jacob couldn't see it. He couldn't see the fulfillment. He couldn't see the hand of God upon his life. We see that by his response. Everything is against me. And I want you to understand, and as we get into this, we can go through difficulties in life, but understand that as a Christian, God is for you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That even in the midst of difficulty, understand that he's working things for your good. He's working things to cause you to prosper. He's working things to cause you to experience his goodness and his favor, to see his hand upon your life. So God is speaking to us this morning. We do the same thing Jacob did. Everything is against me. God, why would you allow this to happen? I know I'm your strongest soldier, but I don't know if I can handle this. And we miss out on seeing the grandness of what God is doing because of our feelings. We do the same thing. We give in to the feelings just as Jacob gave in to feelings. We operate so often from that place of feeling, where we're called instead to operate from the promise, operate from Scripture, operate from what we can see in Scripture of God's character and his word towards us and his declarations, the plans that he has for us, even as it says in Jeremiah, to give us hope and a future. But if we're lost in the midst of our suffering and our grief and in the midst of our feelings, we'll miss out on great joy that can be had. You know what really struck me? Is that what happens then after this declaration where he says, everything is against me, they wait for the food to run out as long as they could before going back to Egypt. And if you continue to read, you'll see it says that Jacob finally said, all right, well, you guys have got to go back because we need more food. This famine's still happening. And he ends up giving in and sending Benjamin. And they find out, and I'm paraphrasing, there's so much here, you'd have to go read all of it. But they find out that this is Joseph. And they got brought in to Egypt and really live as royalty in Egypt. And when, if you read the end of Genesis, when Jacob dies, it's like royalty has died and all the officials of Egypt and chariots and all these people go to Canaan to bury Jacob. Everything is against me. And it was because of that and a number of things that kept him. He could have had the enjoyment so much sooner of being in relationship with Joseph, if he had have done a number of things, maybe if he'd have sought God. God, what's going on here? Oh, yeah, I want you to go. I want you to do what he said and send Benjamin. It'll be okay. I'm going to do everything I told you. But instead, it was about his feelings. And he could have so much sooner stepped into this, the promise that God had had for him. But instead, because of just living in his feelings and staying in his feelings, and living by his feelings, It prolonged the time of famine and the dread. Nothing's changing. God, why is this famine still happening? Why are we having to deal with this? If he'd have really sought God, well, it's because you didn't get up and go when you should have got up and went. So God is speaking to us. We do the same thing Jacob did. One, God has given us many promises, but we forget them. We forget them. God has given us many promises, but we forget them. We don't see him quoting the promises. And maybe that's something that you're struggling with. I remember there was a lady in our church in Bristol Bay. We were there for 10 years, but there was a lady that during, an older lady, but during the 2 years of COVID there, she lost 8 people in her family. Sons, brothers, nephews, cousins, 8 people. And because of her own perspective on COVID, she stayed home for those years and didn't come to church. I'll never forget the day that she came to church. I was in the middle of preaching, and she asked to get prayed for. And she tells me what it is. She tells me about all the family members she's lost, and she says, I just can't hear God anymore. And she's a spirit-filled woman, in her 80s probably, been living with the Lord, prophetic, hears from the Lord, but she says, it's like, I can't hear God anymore. I don't feel his presence. And it was the grief upon her life, so much grief that she couldn't connect with God anymore. And she said, God gave me a dream that I would go to a place and a man would be there with long hair and a black shirt and would pray for me. Well, in the time between she'd come before and she came later on, those years, I'd grown my hair out. She's like, I didn't know anybody like that, but I know if I go to King's, they'll pray for me. And so she comes around the corner in our sanctuary, and lo and behold, I had long hair. So I laid hands on her, prayed for her. God touched her. And visibly touched her and set her free from that. So I understand that grief and sorrow and suffering, as it builds up in our lives, can hinder us from hearing God, and it can hinder us from seeking God, and it can hinder us from claiming as many promises for our lives. And we get under this weight and this covering of difficulty and discouragement. So God's given us many problems, but we forget them. Number two, he didn't seek God. Not that we see in Scripture anyway, he didn't seek God. Maybe there was some hurt there from the loss and from the things. Not only that, he procrastinated. And I know that's nobody here. He procrastinated. He waited before sending them back, when he could have experienced the promise, but he didn't know. So B, what do you do when you feel like everything is against you? Number one, remember the promise. Remember the promise. Ask yourself, what did God say? Maybe you got a prophetic word over this weekend. What did God say? That prophetic word is for you to wage war with when the difficulties come, when the discouragement comes. Oh no, this is happening, but I got a word from the Lord. God spoke to me. I don't know how many times I've been faced by things, and in seeking the Lord, I would hear him in a still small voice. Did I not say? Did I not say that I would do this? So we've got to remember the promise. Maybe you don't have a prophetic word. You've got plenty right here in the Word. All you've got to do is take this. You begin to study. You memorize Scripture. My wife mentioned to me before this, what I recommend: if you've got a problem, go find 3 Scriptures that deal with that thing. Memorize them. Wage war with them. Get them within you. Begin to declare them. And watch what God will do. We've got to declare his promises. Number two, you talk to yourself. So not only do you remember the promise, but you talk to yourself. It's important to do so. Psalm 42:11. The psalmist says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. You got to talk to yourself. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why? And I don't know about you, but more often than not, I tell myself to shut up more than anything else. I do. It gets constant. Shut up. That's not the word. That's not what God says. You got to be quiet. I speak to myself constantly. When you want to open your mouth and complain, shut up. You instead declare what God has said. Instead of letting complaints come out, instead of letting the things of worry come out, I'll tell you one of the things that people struggle in their health much more than they need to, because instead of declaring the promises of God, they're declaring the promises of WebMD. They're declaring the predictions of Google. I'm telling you. I see it happen all the time that a symptom will come and they'll look it up or they'll ask somebody and inside they'll go, I have that. I have that. But I want to tell you, it says in Scripture that by His stripes you are healed. And what you've got to do is you've got to make a declaration. No, I have that. My diagnosis is I am healed. I've been told from Scripture that He took the lashes upon His back so that I wouldn't have to deal with sickness and infirmity. Not only did He save me from my sin, He saved me from the sickness and infirmity. But if you don't have the Word within you, you can't declare it when those things come up. When you don't have the Word within you, you can't really tell yourself to shut up because you don't know what the truth is. And you begin to, there's a big word, it's called vacillate. You begin to vacillate on the inside. Well, what is the right thing? What is true? This is what I see in my life, but this is what the Word says. And you go back and forth. And the Bible talks about it like being a wave in the sea, tossed back and forth, and just, oh, one way, this way, and that way, oh, circumstances come up, and God is unable then to build something upon your life because it's so in such tumult to declare what God has said. Declare what He's told you. Number three, praise changes your perspective. Praise changes your perspective. What the enemy does is he will make your circumstances, whether he brought the circumstances along or maybe you didn't need any help and you by your own choices, those just are for real circumstances. He makes them look really big and really scary. And he'll turn, and it's a term I've heard before but never seen a molehill, but he turns molehills into mountains. Maybe you're from somewhere in the lower 48. I've never seen a molehill, but I guess they're pretty small. But the enemy makes them look very big. The Bible says that he's a roaring lion. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. There's an intimidation that he tries to bring. This is all so big, and this is all so bad. And what that does then is influence you to put your trust in other things. No, I need that bottle. I need that drug. I need that relationship. I need these things in my life just to cope, just to make it through. God has not called you to cope. He's not called you to survive. He's called you to thrive. He's called you to be victorious. He's called you not only to see victory in your life, but there to be a train of victors behind you because of the victory He's wrought within your life. Understand, you're not here to be beat upon. You're here to bring destruction to the devil. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if you're a believer today, if you've got Jesus in your heart, you're one of His disciples. You know what the disciples do? They do what the Master does. So if He's called to destroy the works of the devil, so am I. So are you. But the enemy tries to keep us so intimidated, so fearful that we don't move forward into fulfilling what God has called us to do. So praise changes your perspective, and I'm so thankful for leadership that taught me that early on. I remember many years ago being taught that praise causes us to see our circumstances through God's perspective, through the perspective of faith. And I remember many years ago in the Lucille building, everybody had gone, and I don't remember the circumstance. And that's important to understand. I don't remember the circumstance anymore. But I remember that I heard praise changes your perspective, and I was discouraged. So I said, all right, it's by myself. I shot my hands in the air. God, I thank You. God, I praise You, Lord, that You're good, that You're working good for me. I may not see it right now, but I know that You're doing it. And all of a sudden, something changed within me. I was no longer, that problem all of a sudden didn't seem big anymore. Actually, I started to laugh. But how did that problem get so small? Why? Because because I began to look at through the same eyes that David saw Goliath. I began to look at it through the same eyes that sees my situations, and it's God's perspective. We begin to see through the eyes of faith. Praise. You thank God. You thank God for your spouse. Maybe you're going through a difficulty in your marriage. You're not alone. You know what's interesting? It may resonate with you, maybe not, but after this power conference, I heard many people going through some very difficult things in relationship, difficult things in their families and their lives, and the enemy loves to try and come and steal the passion that we get from receiving the word and from having it brought within us. You've got to change that by praise. You declare praise. If you're going through something with your spouse, you praise God for them. Well, he doesn't do anything for me to praise God for. You start coming up with something. And if you begin to praise God for your spouse, watch how your perspective changes about them, and watch how you approach them. And when that changes, watch how they respond to you. Understand there's a vicious cycle that happens when we get into our feelings and instead of praising in the midst of those situations. Praise changes your perspective. Number four, check yourself. I put yourself in there, but check yourself. Check yourself. Okay, sometimes we make things super, super spiritual, and we're waging these spiritual battles, and we're, you know, up all night waging these spiritual battles and things, these discouragements that come, and oh, all these things, why me? And what's actually happened is you're not taking care of your body. You haven't been sleeping, and you wonder why you're having a hard time and you're discouraged. You've not been eating well, and you're wondering why there's a difficulty that's going on within your life, and you're feeling drained, and your emotions are all over the place, and you're not exercising. Come on. I know this is church. I know we're supposed to be really spiritual, but there's things. The Bible talks about taking care of the temple that God has given us. And I want to encourage you in the area of taking care of yourself, not making everything so super spiritual that you don't take care of your body. Not only that, but you need to probably make changes. There are times where discouragement comes that's unwarranted. So Jacob's discouragement, we see from the lens of history how that his fears and his discouragement was unwarranted because God was doing it all. But there are other times where we actually have to make the changes. Maybe the discouragement you're dealing with is a product of the decisions that you've made. And instead of just crying out to God to change your situation, begin to make the steps to see it shift. If you're struggling in addiction and you don't, and you're praying for God to sovereignly smack you upside the head and take that from you, I believe that He does that, and we've had that happen many times, but more often than not, He wants to do a work within you of a building a strength and a faith. So not only will you be set free, but you can bring others along with you out of that place of addiction, out of that place of suffering and difficulty. So you might need to make some changes. Don't just leave it all on God that you feel this way and, oh, you know, God, how come I'm dealing with this? Well, it's because you're not taking care of yourself. You're not taking care of your finances. You're not taking care of the things in your house. You're not parenting your kids. Listen, if you don't discipline your kids in private, don't get mad at them in public when they act out. Don't blame God either. If you're not consistently disciplining them in private and you're just like, you kind of discipline them, but out of the corner of your eye while you're on the couch, they're doing something and you know they're not supposed to be doing it and they know, but you're just going to kind of ignore it so you don't have to parent right then because you're tired. Don't be mad at them when they act like that in public because they know you see them. They know you see them. Hey, so check yourself. Check yourself. And lastly, don't do life alone. Hear me, don't do life alone. We're not made to do life alone. We're not made for that. We're made to do life in relationship. when Jesus died for our sins, it was not only to reconcile us back into relationship with God, but also to reconcile us to each other. And we can have these wonderful relationships where we encourage each other. A Thursday nights, for Native Fellowship, we have life groups, many life groups. I think there's 6 or 7 life groups in there right now. And you know what has happened? Over the weeks that we've had Native Fellowship, many people are coming, many people are becoming leaders through there. But not only that, that we're helping people walk through life. Where once people were walking through difficulty alone, and I don't know what to do, and they're just discouraged by themselves. Now we walk in victory together, praying for one another, testifying, this is what the Lord has done, beginning to walk through things and see the breakthrough happen. Listen, don't do life alone. Jacob needed somebody that he could speak into his life and go, shut up. When he cried out, everything is going against me, he needed someone that had the authority to say, shut up, this is what God has said. This is what God had promised you. This is what God has told you. Based on the history of your people, he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. That's all taking place. We like to, I've said it many times in this church, somebody needs to hold your shut up card. And what that means is that somebody in your life that says what you're saying doesn't line up with the word, what you're doing doesn't line up with the word. One of the greatest places that that can happen is when within the life groups. We have just about 100 life groups right now. And there is a life group that you can fit in. And that is, it will help you to fulfill what God's called you to do. And I want you to hear this. You're going to help somebody. If you can get into a life group, there's somebody that needs you to come alongside them in that group. That group needs you and what God's brought you through. So I want to encourage you. You can get on the website. You can see the Next Steps desk to find out about the different life groups. God is doing everything that he said he would do.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.